Blog Talk Radio.
Squeezing the juice out of these headphones.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez.
What up?
Kim.
Holla.
Jimmy. PJ. B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic. Sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 tour, the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yo, man, I ain't say this in a while, but, yo, our theme music is hot. Y'all know about that. All right, everybody, it's Thursday, November 10th, 2011. It's time for the generals to speak. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm at the round table with Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we're gonna talk a little boxing, a little bit of Eli Manning, Joe Frazier, Michael Jordan, and, of course, the scandal that's rocking Penn State. So settle in, get comfortable, and listen up. We also want you to join the conversation, so jump in that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter. You can also call us on the Digital Exchange Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Make sure you get down with that Philly sports radio movement. Check out our boys Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Wednesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. And make sure you keep up with the latest Philly sports news at buzzonbroad.com. Broad Street has never, ever, ever been hotter. We also want to say what's up to Jeff and P. Coop, a ranked top five sports talk radio out in Chicago. We owe them boys a little something, and it's time to pay up. But we'll talk about that later on in the show. But right now, Jimmy's going to let us know who's having a birthday.
My birthday, yay!
What's up, comrades? Y'all ready to start the show?
Yes, sir.
We's ready. We's ready.
All right, the first birthday. And by the way, birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Washington, Fort Washington, Maryland. And go check them out. And if you do, ask for Lisa, and you will not be disappointed. At any rate, the first birthday I want to talk about is one Linda Cohn, who turns 52.
Let's
start with you, Dad.
Yay!
When I say Linda Cohn, what comes to mind?
Sports Center, you know, she's good at what she does. You know, not much to look at, but, you know, Linda Cohn. That's all I got.
That's all you got, huh? Doc Bay, what you got to say about Linda Cohn?
Well, you know, paved the way and currently paving the way for the female gender in the world of sports and sports casting with ESPN. So, you know, I'm sure there, you know, I'm sure at one point as a kid, she probably told, hey, Daddy, I want to be on TV and talk sports. And he was like, probably either, yeah, right, or, honey, you can do whatever you want. And in the back of his mind with the funds on hold. So shout out to her for breaking down barriers.
Yeah, she definitely has. And for those who don't know, that she actually made sports casting history by becoming the first full-time U.S. female sports anchor on a national radio network when she was hired by ABC back in the 80s. So a lot of people don't know that, but she kind of did, you know, pave the way for a future female broadcaster. So shout out to
Linda Cohn. All right.
Yo, the next birthday is one Isaac Isidore Bruce. Turns 39.
Yay!
Reverend Ike Bruce, Doc Bay. When
yo,
I say
shout
Isaac
out to
Isidore Bruce.
Yeah, shout out to Isaac Bruce because he was with the Rams when they had Tony Banks and they were bad. And then he stuck it out. You know, he didn't cry. He didn't say, like, you don't want to get out of here like Ocho Cinco. He didn't have a fit. He didn't stop playing and like Randy Moss. He didn't go after his quarterback. Like T.O., he just stuck it out and went to 2 Super Bowls and won one and put up a lot of stats in the process.
Yeah.
There was a nice period, you know, during his career where Isaac Bruce was really, really nice. And, you know, you'll find his name up high in the record book for a lot of receiving records. So, you know, he was a beast. I don't really know what an Isidore is and why you would name your son that, but shout out to Ike. Happy birthday, Ike Bruce.
Yeah, yeah. When I think of Ike Bruce, you definitely think of the Rams. And like Dev said, he put up a lot of numbers, and he was from the previous era before all receivers became prima donnas, because he never really made any noise or what have you in terms of off the field. And now it seems like every coon in the league is a wide receiver. So, you know, shout out to Isidore. Shout out to my man Isidore. The next birthday, speaking of wide receivers, is one Dante Lamar Stallworth, who turns 31.
Yay!
Dev, Dante Lamar Stallworth.
Dante Lamar, when he came into the league, he was some fast trash. This dude, he was always fast, and he had potential, but he always had the dropsies. He was a Butterfinger type dude. And now he's always injured because, you know, fast dudes always have hamstring problems. So, you know, after he caught that little case down in Florida, even though he got another chance to play NFL football, it doesn't really seem like he can stick with a team, because he actually just got released by the Washington Redskins this week.
Yeah, real quick before I get to Doc Bay, it's funny because they say that when he played for Tennessee in college, his nickname was Hands because of his ability to catch the rock. But you're absolutely right. He's definitely fast. He ran like a 4.2 or something like that, something crazy. But, you know, things didn't work out. He caught a body, and, you know, now he's out the league. So, Doc Bay, Dante Stallworth.
Man, so much comes up when you think of Dante. First of all, his best 2 years seem to have been with the Eagles and with the Patriots. But then his time with the Eagles ended after he had, you know, admitted to sniffing a whole lot of cocaine, so he went into rehab. Then he goes to the Patriots when they put up all those numbers. Then, you know, later one summer, he kills dude, and then now he's cut. So it's like, you know, prayer. You know, I feel like he needs some prayers, man. He might need some encouragement and upliftment. But, yeah, there you go, Dante Stallworth.
He needs some prayer and some encouragement, huh? All right, the last one is one of Dev's favorite players in the league, and that's one Kendrick Perkins, who the Celtics would not win without him.
My birthday! Yay!
Kendrick Perkins turns 27. Doc Bay, I'm going to start with you before Dev goes on his Kendrick Perkins rant.
Yo, what did PJ say? He has that mean in the face look, or the mean face look for no reason. I've never seen Kendrick Perkins, like, do an offensive move. I guess his highlight of the playoffs was having an offensive basket interference that wasn't called that helped the Thunder win a game in one of those series. Him and Rondo's relationship is very close, to the point that Rondo's game just regressed. I don't know what that's all about. Trying to think what else. Yeah, he's very overrated. He was definitely on my list 2 weeks ago in my PPR, but he's making, like, I want to say $8 million a year. For what he does, he should get $3.72 million over 3 years. So there you go.
How you got the math figured out, though? 3.72 over 3 years. Anyway, Dev, this is your man. This is your man. What do you got to say about Kendrick Perkins?
Kendrick Perkins is a bum. He's a 7-foot piece of trash who everybody in the league overrates, like teams can't win without Kendrick Perkins. And he always trying to look mean, and his mouth is smaller than his ear hole. And he a coward. I don't know where that came from. I just needed something to say because Ether was playing. That's all I got to say.
Yo, I really have nothing to say about Kendrick Perkins because he doesn't deserve me speaking on him. But I just find it hilarious how he tries to look tough out there, like, even when it comes to his teammates. Like, I've never seen a dude more focused, if that's what he calls himself being, during the course of a basketball game. But FOH to you, because you don't deserve hearing my voice, Kendrick Perkins. Anyway, those are the first two deaths. Take it over, good brother.
No, I really don't know why I called him a coward, though. I'm going to let y'all know what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. you know, besides the obvious and everything that's going on in Penn State, we're going to try to see if we can talk about a little something else for a little while. And while y'all are on the grind, it's brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Check out the website, the hottest selection of rims and tires on the internet. Go there, hook your whip up. All right, y'all. Earlier in the week, Stevie Williams, the former caddy of Tiger Woods, is at it again. Like, why is this caddy bringing so much attention to himself? If y'all didn't hear, he was in a room full of people. They were having some kind of caddy's press conference for something. So they asked him about how he felt when Adam Scott, his, you know, his new master, how he felt when Adam Scott won the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. This dude says he was, when Adam Scott won, he wanted to shove Adam Scott's Bridgestone Invitational win up Tiger Woods' black ass. What's up with Stevie Williams? And first of all, because, you know, I was getting a lot of flack for being a quote-unquote racist comments. Jimmy, what do you feel about the caddy still talking, and do you think it was racist?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know whether or not it was racist, but there are certain things you just don't say because it can be misconstrued and be taken as being racist. And, I mean, sometimes you just got to shut up. Like, maybe he was excited and got caught up in a moment, but you just don't say things like that because at the end of the day, you give people an opportunity to call you a racist, even if you're not, in fact, a racist.
And he's a caddy. Why is he drawing so much attention to himself? I know he's really showing.
But that shows
he's really
Tigers,
showing how
Tigers.
Bitter. Oh, go ahead.
But it shows you just how dominant and how popular Tiger is. No one else's right. caddy gets this kind of attention. So that just goes to show you just how great Tiger is. The fact that his caddy
and it shows you how bitter dude is with Tiger actually ending their relationship. He tries to, you know, pass it off and act like he's cool with it and he's not bitter. But every time he gets a microphone in his face, he's talking greasy about Tiger Woods.
But I mean, Tiger did do him dirty, but at the end of the day, you got to get over it. Like, yo, move on, dog.
Man, this is wrong on so many levels. First of all, I mean, Tiger did fire him, and I guess we can say he kind of did him dirty. But also, Stevie Williams would have never made the money that he made. Tiger didn't keep him on for so many years. You know, I guess Tiger felt like he needed to purge or cleanse and get a new environment around himself. That's understandable. So Steve Williams should thank Tiger for the money. But also, that this was a violation at a racial level, calling him, you know, black. Also, homosexual level, taking a golf club and putting it through someone's anus. And not even with their approval, like not even with their approval. So on the third count, that's rape. So not only was it racist, it was rapist, and it was also homosexual. So I mean, I have nothing against those who practice that lifestyle, but you know, that was just nasty, man. It's like a prison broomstick up the anus type thing. It's not good.
Yeah, he was tripping a little bit, and I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why he feels the need to talk about Tiger every single time he gets a microphone or a camera in his face, but I digress. We will move on to the next story. And your boy is back in the news. All right, I know Albert Haynesworth was released by the Patriots on Tuesday. A lot of people said, okay, this is probably it for him. He'll probably never, you know, work in the NFL again. Well, Tampa Bay claimed him off of waivers yesterday. Bam, what do you think about the situation?
Well, you know what's interesting? I believe Tampa Bay still runs the 4-3 Tampa 2, right?
Yeah, so it's probably...
Yeah, so therefore I'm thinking it's a better fit because everybody knows he didn't want to play the 3-4 with the Redskins, and he didn't want to I'm sure he didn't want to play the 3-4 in New England, but he had to eat, so he said, hey, let me sign with y'all. But what's interesting, this goes into Chad Ochocinco, because I just wanted to say that Chad Ochocinco has nine catches for like 140 yards in a year, and Belichick used to have the magic touch of Wes Walker has like both stats in one game. But it's interesting that Belichick has signed two guys who everybody thought was going to be resurrected, but you know, now they're wondering if Chad Ocho is going to be next.
That's actually what I was going to ask Jimmy. Like, what happened to the magic sprinkles that Belichick sprinkles over you when he brings you to his team? Is this a matter of he's been getting too much props for all these years and you know, players still had something in the tank? Or are players, you know, when they're done, they're just done?
I think it's a matter of him not being able to film other teams' practices no more.
so he don't know where to tell Haynesworth which gap to plug because he don't know where the play is going.
Yeah, man. Like, yo, I think it's something to that. The longer it goes and the longer they go without winning or looking as dominant as they once did, although they did go like 16-0 after that, but since then, what have they really done? And even beyond that, Chad, if you watch the games, he looks like he has no clue. Like, he looks like he doesn't have the same playbook as everybody else.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
what's going on with him? He's out there just wandering around. It's like he doesn't even look like he's in the flow of the offense, so to speak. And,
you know, Teddy Bruschi probably still want to ball him up. So.
Yeah. No Sandusky. But, I mean, there's definitely something going on there. But in terms of Albert Haynesworth, like, he will be going to the 4-3, so I think it's maybe his last chance to prove that he has anything left.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you go to the Patriots, people always expect you to resurrect your career. You go there and not do anything. Maybe the dude is just done. Maybe he just doesn't want to play football. But even in Washington and in New England, he's been in schemes that he doesn't want to play. So we will see. You know, plus, you know, he going down there to play for Raheem. Maybe he respect Raheem more than he respect, you know, the guys that he was playing for before. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, no doubt.
But they keep.
No doubt.
I don't know why people like, you know, who do what we do, sports talk and analysts and all that kind of stuff. Why they always play themselves with these players though? They're always telling you who's never going to work again. T.O. will never get a job again, and then, you know, he always ends up getting one.
Look, you never know what situations, man. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got the homie on the line.
They keep saying it. They got to be right one day. But I'm gonna take this call real quick.
Let's take the call. You got it?
Yeah, I got my man Jay on the line. Jay, you're in the war room. What's going on?
What's good, Joe? What's good?
What's up, homie?
What's going on with you, man? Long time no hear.
Man. I've been here politicking, man, get some things done with the shop. You know what I mean? Trying to be like a fat man smoking at a gas station. I'm trying to blow up. But,
boom!
I'm trying to talk about that Tiger situation, because when I called you, I was talking about Tiger and old boy,
oh, yeah.
You know, I guess his old caddy. You know how it be, man. These cats want to get famous. They figure by coming out their mouth, you know, somebody going to pay attention, and somebody going to listen, and they're going to get a deal to do something. But in reality, like, why are we getting mad? Didn't Tiger say a long time ago, I'm not African-American? I'm
Polynesian.
He said he was Caliban Asian, man. Exactly.
He's trying to get a reality show or something.
Yeah, he might want that. They probably going to come out with the new Caddy show, you know what I mean? Caddy for Bucks, you know what I mean? I know why he mad, because while Tiger was with all them white women, you know, them Playboy models, he would tell him, hold my condoms, and when he finished busting, all right, give me the next one. Come on, dude, give me the next one, and wasn't letting him get no cheeks. So the dude wasn't getting no cheeks.
You're saying he was caddying in the bedroom as well as the...
Yes, sir, he was caddying.
Instead of holding his golf clubs, he was holding his...
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, what you're saying is if Tiger would have shared the yams with him, then everything would have been cool.
Everything would have been cool. Now, you tell me. Let's say right now all y'all in the war room is getting cheeks and one of y'all is not getting cheeks. So one of y'all gotta be the designated, you know, like them saying shoe holder or the bra holder while somebody else is getting cheeks. Ain't you gonna get tight, you ain't getting no cheeks. Like everybody else getting cheeks. You ain't getting cheeks. You gonna get salty because you could only do so much while watching.
Jay, before we go, Jay, I got one question for you, man. You got any inside scoop on the NBA lockout, man?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't got nothing. I don't even talk to the Myers no more. so I don't even know nothing about the NBA right now. I mean, if she start messing with Derek Fisher, I might get something for you. But, you know, right now, you're not too cheap.
All right. I was just thinking, like, later on in the show, we're going to be talking about your boy MJ, and then we're going to talk about that Penn State thing. So keep listening and try to get back in when we get to them topics.
Oh, you already know. I'm going to stay on the line, man. You already know. All right, homie.
All right, man.
All right,
Jay. Yo, Jay, crazy. All right. Last story while y'all want to grind, man. This is – well, no, that's not the last one. We got the Nationals catcher, Wilson Ramos. He was kidnapped. His family says he was taken by gunpoint by four men in an SUV right in front of his crib in Venezuela. I mean, you know, there's been a history of kidnapping being one of the major crimes in South America. Kill, what do you think about this, man? It's kind of crazy.
Oh. Yo, and what country in South America was it?
Venezuela.
Yo, that's crazy, man. But it's crazy that kidnappings for ransom are huge in South American countries, especially
right.
Colombia, even the southern parts of Mexico and, you know, Central America. Kind of like that movie that Denzel played in, and that's just crazy. That's all I got to say. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. This is what I'm thinking, because they haven't heard anything from the kidnappers yet. So, you know, they're looking to see what they want, and they haven't said anything yet. But since we do know, because I haven't, you know, been privy to information in the kidnappings. I just happen to know, like everybody else, that that's done a lot down there. But what happens if – I don't know. I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about this story. It's like that happens so much down there that the money generated from kidnappings counts, like, towards their GDP. So, I mean, this is just something that happens there.
But listen, do they – what's like, the rate of – people actually making it back alive? Like, they pay the people and it works out? Or is it one of those things, like, here when a kid or an adult even, somebody's missing, they go missing for a few days, you're most likely going to hear bad news in a week
yeah.
or two. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I would like to know if anybody out there knows and can call us and let us know, like, what's the, I don't want to call it a retention rate, but what's the retention rate?
only chance they really have is if, like, they can get Jack Bauer or either Liam Neeson, who has a particular set of skills that can probably get him back. But other than that, he in trouble.
Oh, they don't want Liam on the case.
Oh, Liam,
but,
nice.
Last,
the man said, I got a
last.
Particular set of skills.
Yeah, our last
yeah,
story today, we had two sad stories this week. We're going to talk about one right now and one in a few minutes. You know, hip-hop legend. Hip hop old head, Heavy D, passed at the age of 44. They said he had just come back from shopping at his Los Angeles condo. He was having trouble breathing while he was trying to climb a set of stairs. The staff tried to help him, but he collapsed. The police came. He was conscious and was still having difficulty breathing. He was rushed to Cedar Sinai, and about 90 minutes later, he was pronounced dead. Heavy D,
damn.
Dead at age 44, man. What y'all
so this
think?
Was in L.A.?
Yeah, because at first I heard
it was
home.
Who was Suge Knight at, man?
I know. They actually said it was no signs of foul play, so I wrote Suge off as soon as
okay,
I heard
cool.
that.
Okay, cool. All right, no doubt. Yeah, man, I don't know what to say about that. That's sad because, like, Heavy D was, like, yo, he's one of my heroes as in childhood. People laugh about that, but yo, you can't tell me that Heavy and kill self destruction standing in front of Cherokee like that.
Yeah, I typed his whole verse on my Facebook status this morning. His verse was
Heavy
tight.
Was so cool that he was in self destruction with a pair of khakis on and a leather jacket, killing him.
You remember Hev? You know, he had the boys with him, but he would always dance with him. He would always keep up with him. Those were the days when you could still be cool, you know, but dance like. Artists, well, I don't even call these dudes artists. Rappers today, come on, man, you're not gonna catch them doing
yeah.
synchronized
could
dancing.
You imagine, could
cool
you imagine? Like, could you imagine 50 dancing though? That would be kind of like hilarious. Like, I don't want to see
even,
him dance, but I know what you
even
mean.
Even Big
though.
Daddy
just,
Kane dance. If BDK can dance, then anybody can dance.
Yeah, but you know it's funny because we just watched that. Like, we just watched the BET John. He killed it, and I'm like, yo,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like out of the blue.
Kill you,
Any thoughts you know, the crazy thing is that he killed, like Jimmy was saying, he killed that performance on the BET Awards. So, you know, I know in the back of our minds, we're like thinking, like, yo, is he coming out with another album? What is he going to do? You know, he's getting his name out there. And then he, like, dies. Like, and then he sent a tweet out to Joe Frazier family, like, rest in peace, Joe Frazier. You were the champ, one of the greats. You know,
yeah,
prayers
then,
out to
the
family. Then he dies the next day. That's, like, no joke.
That's crazy, but that's what happened this week, everybody, while y'all were on the grind.
Yes, sir. All right, it's time to pass the rock. And for those who don't know, pass the rock is when we vent on our chosen sports issue, report our favorite headline of the week. We pretty much get to get a couple minutes to talk personally about anything that we want to. And I'm going to bring the rock up this week, and I'll be very, very And for those who don't know, this is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Posturepedic Jim. Shout out to my man, Waterbed Hez. But this week, I really have nothing that's bothering me. I just want to say one thing, and I know this is a sports show, but sometimes politics can be looked at as a sport. I watched a Republican debate last night, and I want everybody out there to listen to me. I want everybody to support Herman Cain, not because I think he's a great candidate, not because I think he has a chance to win, but Herman Cain is pure comedy. I want you to vote for Herman Cain for my personal benefit so I can get to continue to watch him say some of the things he says out of his mouth. An example, last night, Herman Cain said out of his mouth, for every person who says I harassed him, there are thousands who say I didn't. How do you say that with a straight face and think that people could take you serious? I mean, some of the statements that he made last night were so comical that I can't repeat them, but I need you guys to go out and vote for Herman Cain just so I can continue to watch this comedy show. I haven't laughed as much since the last time I saw Chris Rock with Eddie Murphy stand up. Back when Eddie Murphy was funny. My fault, Dad. But you know the nigga. You ain't funny no more. Anyway, with that being said, I really have nothing I want to vent about. I just wanted to say that. Shout out to my man Herman Cain. And with that being said, I'm going to pass the rock to my man Dad.
Yo, Eddie Murphy is the greatest. Stop playing. I'm salty because he was supposed to do the Oscars this year, but now that the boy that got him on the show got fired, Eddie had to bounce.
Y'all know he ain't funny no more.
They might be going back to Billy Crystal. So I just wanted to see if he still had it because y'all know me. I'm such an Eddie Murphy stan. You know, I think he can't do no wrong when I know he's dead wrong. So, I'm biased. I'm not objective on that. But yeah, y'all, this is Dev, a.k.a. Craftmatic Dev. Another shout-out to my man Waterbed Hez. I don't have much tonight either. I just wanted to say a couple of words about Eli Manning. Now, throughout this past week, I've watched and been a part of about three 100-plus post debates on Eli Manning. Two of them happened on our Facebook page and another one happening on someone else's Facebook page. And I'm just kind of flabbergasted at how much credit Eli Manning doesn't get. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that his name is Manning, his brother is Peyton, his daddy is Archie. You know, people think that everything he's gotten through nepotism, and I think that's poppycock, because if you actually watch Eli Manning, he's one of the best fourth quarter quarterbacks we have in the league today. So all people can say is he threw a bunch of interceptions last year. So did Drew Brees. Y'all didn't say anything. And y'all don't mention the fact that he threw 30 touchdowns in the process of turning the ball over as much as he did. I'm not giving him a pass. I don't even care that much. He's a Giant. I'm an Eagles fan. But I just want to tell y'all, when y'all argue about sports, try to be a little objective, because it seems like a lot of people have these preconceived notions of Eli Manning, and no matter what he does to prove you wrong, you're going to keep saying the same stuff. And I'm just trying to tell you, I'm trying to help you, because you sound silly, you look silly, and I don't want my people looking silly. You're silly. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, Akil Bayon, for the finish.
I appreciate that, man. That's, Eli, he's an above-average quarterback, and he won a bowl, all right? I don't really have too much. All I have to say is, what up, War Room family? What up, War Room family? Special shout-out to all the Donovan McNabb Stanleys. It's Kill Dan of the War Room Generals, serving knowledge to these lemons like lemon juice. And with that, I will take the pass from Dev, dribble up the right side of the court, in and out with the right hand, go behind the back, right to left, leaving the defender on the ground. I head to the lane, take off on the right foot with the left hand extension. I turn my head to the left and then back to the right, faking out the defender with the left hand. And like the Iceman, I finger roll.
And the crowd went crazy. Kill the embarrassing defenders.
Dev, real quick, before you tell everybody how to get in touch with us, I just want to send a shout-out to my little cousin, Jeffrey Thomas. I see him in the chat room. He actually plays ball for Pitt, and he's up there at Pitt. And I just want to tell him that if you see anything funny, make sure you report it to the cops, all right, cuz? That's it.
All right. Well, I'm going to let everybody know how to get in touch with us. And shout-out to my man. See the other Jeff Thomas from Ranked Top 5. See him in the chat room. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir.
We're going to address our situation in a couple minutes. We ain't forgot about you. All right, so y'all can check our website out, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us page tab to send a message to us about our company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Yes, we do have them. You need to get with them. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise and click the blog tab to read the greatest sports blog in the world. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices, to watch our YouTube videos, and you can click the plus one to like our stuff on Google Plus. We are on Google Plus now. You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, just sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. While you're there, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. Be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. Who knows? We might spot you in the back of the class, and we might just call on you. So, anything going on in the chat room right now? Before
no,
we move
you know,
on?
Just talking a little. Just talking a little trash, that's all.
Cool.
You know, with that being said, let's move on to some hot topics. I see we got the homie PJ in the building. What's poppin', PJ?
GZ.
Gia. What's up, fella?
I know, before I jump into the hot topics, I know you want to say something about Waterbed Heads, because that was your homie.
Sleep number P.
Absolutely, man. I you know what, but since we heard the news of our brother Waterbed Head, I changed my name temporarily to Sleep Number PJ, man. Heavy D was one of my favorite rappers back in the day, man. He was, you know what I'm saying, he was like a big dude, sex symbol type of dude, pause. But, I mean, he
Damn.
Was coming from a different style. It wasn't all, like, trying to hurt you. He had to, you know, like a little LL mixed with a little bit of, you know, Grand Puba or something. So yeah, exactly.
What's crazy is he didn't cuss. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't, like, you know,
right.
selling dope or nothing. But he was that dude. It is funny. Remember he had the song Don't Curse?
Yep, Don't Curse. That was one of the best songs, man.
But
yeah,
had Cool G Rap on it. How you going to have Cool G Rap on a song called Don't Curse?
All he did was curse with a lisp. Heavy D had one of my favorite verses on Self-Destruction, man.
Before you came on, I was telling him he was in front of the chair. He killed him. With a pair of
cargo
knockers on.
He came out and said, here's the situation. Idiocy. My man said, heaven's at the door, so there'll be no bum rush.
First of all, idiocy ain't even a word. Hev was one of the first people to change a word to make it rhyme with his next word. Come on, man. That's heavy D, man.
All right, man. With that being said, we about to jump into some hot topics. And by the way, the War Room, our show, is brought to you by Audible. Your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for a free trial. Go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can listen to the Steve Jobs book, just like me and Akil have been doing all week. By the way, I finished the book, Kill, and it was an excellent book. But listen, if you guys want to get audiobooks, by signing up at audibletrial.com/warroomsports, you can get a free book. So it's actually nothing to start. And if you want to keep the service, you keep it. If not, get rid of it. But you definitely want to get a free book. And go to our Facebook page to get more info. With that being said.
You know what, Jim? Before you do that, because, you know, before what you're about to talk about, Joe Frazier, since there's five cats in the war room, you know, we got to give Joe our five bell salute real quick. Bell taking too long. All right.
Yes, sir. The champ has passed away. I'll go around the room and see if you guys wish your memories of Joe Frazier when you think of Joe Frazier. So I'll start with you, Doc Bay.
Yo, my memories are, you know, my pop was a big Muhammad Ali fan, even changed his full name from, I guess you could say, European-based name to an Islamic name like Muhammad Ali did. But he also respected Joe Frazier. And all he used to talk about when I was growing up was, you know, what, the Thriller in Manila. And how Muhammad Ali was like the man, but then like Joe Frazier from Philly beat him in that their first match, and then Ali had three matches. And then my pop was trying to get my hand skills up, so we opened up the gym, Joe Frazier's gym. He took me to Joe Frazier's gym, and I think it was like in the seventh grade. And I actually met Marvis Frazier. I didn't get a chance to meet Joe Frazier. Then I wound up learning how to box up at the Hollow. Shout out to Hollow off of Wayne Ave, because I was closer to my grandma's spot, so. There you go.
How about you, Des?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, Kill talking about Joe and Muhammad Ali, man, that three-fight set might have been, like, the most important fight set in boxing history, because it wasn't just because of the fights. It was because of the whole cultural aspect of it. You know, because when Muhammad Ali was in jail and couldn't get his license back, Joe lent the money. And then he felt betrayed by Muhammad Ali because when they were promoting the fight, he kind of took it overboard with the gorilla and the You Ugly and calling him an Uncle Tom and all that kind of stuff. And why I say it had such a cultural impact is because Muhammad Ali was so influential that he really turned a lot of people in America against Joe Frazier for no reason at all. And I think, you know, I think he's really regretful for doing that kind of stuff. Because, you know, when you talk to him now and in recent years, he always wants to say the most positive things about Joe Frazier that he could possibly say. So that's probably one of those times where Muhammad Ali and his, you know, the reason everybody loved him, it probably went a little too far. And he really just turned the country against this man for no reason. But
yeah.
When you think of Joe Frazier, man, I think he had the most vicious left hook I've ever seen in my life.
No doubt. BJ.
Yeah, man, I just think about, like, just in agreement with everything that's been said, just to brings me back to a time when, like, boxing really meant something. Like, back in the time when, you know, Joe Frazier was at his prime and, like, Muhammad Ali and those guys, I mean, boxing, a big fight was like a Super Bowl. So when I think of them and those guys, it's just, you know, they really fought at a time when heavyweights, like right now, I think the heavyweight champion might be in Tibet somewhere. I couldn't tell you. It's just comical at this point. But like Dev said, he was a very hard punching, come at you, almost like he almost had like a Mexican style of fighting mixed with soul. Like he just was straight come with it, throwing hard punches. He was a soulful Mexican style, like, you know what I'm saying? But he was tough as nails, man. And you know, I just, you know, sorry to see him go, but I mean, he repped Philly really well, put Philly on the map in a lot of ways.
And I actually had the joy and the privilege of sitting down with him several times. We did business together, and it's funny because anytime I sat down with Joe Frazier, we would be talking about one thing, and it always ended up in a, you know, hour long, 2 hour long conversation about boxing. And for me, like being a sports fan and growing up hearing about Joe Frazier, that's one of the things that I'll never forget as long as I live. And it's funny, every time I talk to him and we brought up boxing, the first thing he would say is, George Foreman hits hard. I mean, to the yo, I'm talking
still
to him a couple months ago. I spoke to him a couple months ago, and he was like, as soon as we talk, look, I'm going to tell you how hard Foreman hits. Yeah, you told me, champ. Every time we talk, he's going to tell me. So with that being said, I know George Foreman must have used to hit hard as hell, because this dude is like, every time I talk to him, he tell me how hard George Foreman hit. And he was scarred by the Ali thing, but yo, he said, look man, George Foreman hits hard as hell. He just throwing buildings at me. So, you know, I just think about
Jimmy,
that. And rest in peace, man.
It's crazy that you bring up George Foreman, because you brought that thing to our attention the other day, how that newspaper in Hong Kong, the only English-speaking paper they have out there, tried to do like a one-page salute to Joe Frazier in their newspaper, but they had a big picture of George Foreman. So they kind of dropped the ball on that. So
you cannot tell. First off, they don't have Foreman grills over there. They probably made over there somewhere. But with that being said, that was like, it's crazy, because I know it's going to sound crazy what I'm getting ready to say. It's like Joe Frazier, as great as he was, he's always been like outshined by whether.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Beat Muhammad Ali. Then when he passes, it's like he's getting a little bit of love, and then like Heavy D passes, and then like the Penn State thing happens. Like he got knocked off the cover again. It's like, yo, he can't even
when
win
he
in death. He's always overshadowed by something else. You know, it's kind of crazy. But
listen, like with that, with the whole newspaper thing, it's like, I don't know. What are they trying to say? Like, how do you make that
they're
kind of
thing? They're trying to say we all look alike.
Like, they're trying to say we all look alike. Ain't that kind of like the cap, you know, the pot calling the kettle? You know, I ain't going to say that.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Like
shout out to all our Asians.
They got some nerve.
Hong Kong.
We got complexions, man.
Speaking of, this has been the question that I hear on, like, a lot of message boards all week. You know, everybody's saying, man, well, Philly, Rocky got a statue, and he's not even real. Should Joe get a statue?
Yeah, he should. Joe should have been got a statue. Bernard should get one, too. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, they should put a Joe Frazier statue at Germantown and Shelton.
Germantown and Shelton. Yeah, I agree. I think he should get one. I mean, he's probably – well, he is Philly's greatest heavyweight champion ever.
Listen, man, I'm going to say
something.
I don't
share the same sentiment where, you know, where people be hating on the Rocky statue, though. You know.
Oh, no, you can't hate on Rocky. Rocky is real where we come from. But I'm going to say something that I probably shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If Joe Frazier's name was like, you know, Johnny, you know, never mind, I ain't going to say it.
That's Rocky Marciano?
Yes, I am. If his name was Johnny and his last name ended in a vowel, he would have been had a statue in South Philly somewhere. There's no way you could have told me that he wouldn't. And it's a travesty that he doesn't get the respect he deserves. Him as well as Bernard. I mean, Bernard's one of the greatest champions ever. It's like we wait till these people go to honor them, and that just doesn't happen in other cultures. And it's sad to see, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Now I'm
going
to get a bunch
of
hate mail and hate tweets, but I really feel that way.
Well, his name was Rocky Marciano.
Every time I start talking about boxing, a white man got to pull Rocky Marciano out their head. That's day one. That's day one.
That's day one. That's day one.
Speaking of that, yo, we got our boxing connoisseur on. There's a big fight this weekend.
I'm gonna go to the screen real quick.
Okay, no doubt. Take that, Dev. First, let me get Doc Bay to say something about the fight, and then TJ's gonna break it down for us. But Doc Bay, what do you think about this fight?
All right, so it's basically unless Pacquiao and Floyd fight. Like, any other fight that they're involved with is kind of like an undercard, even though it's the main card. You know what I'm saying? That's all I got to say about it.
I completely agree with Bay. It's like every fight that either one of them is in is like the precipice to their actual fight. So, I mean, when I look at this fight, I'm like, I don't know. Like, here's the thing. The styles that I look at, I think, first and foremost, I would say I think that Pacquiao has an advantage. I just think that he brings a bit more to the table, Marquez does.
It's called performance enhancement drug.
But, you know, Marquez was, supposedly dealing with some trainers that were implicated in some of those other investigations.
He just drink a little piss every once in a while.
Yeah, he's drinking piss and some other stuff, too.
Just the juice match.
Right. But I think Marquez in this particular fight at this stage, I think he's 37 or 38 years old right now. And I just think that he's kind of tailor-made to Pacquiao's style a little. Pacquiao, I think, is going to bring more energy. I think he's going to be able to last longer. I think he's also going to – he's not really a boxer per se, but if you have to look at the two of them, I think he's going to do more boxing-type things, like maybe give angles, maybe move his head a little bit more. But I think Marquez is still kind of tailor-made and still kind of straight up and down. I haven't seen Marquez fight since he fought – excuse me, fought Floyd, and he looked awful in that. I mean, he looked like a statue in that fight. And he was drinking his whatever. What's up?
If Pac-Man knows that it's $50 million on the other side, like, yo, how could you not just come out in this one? Like, yo, you know, $50 million on the other side. Like, he might kill this man.
You know what's, you know what's funny, Jimmy? I was watching 24/7, and in the 24/7, I think Pacquiao is trying to make people not believe that he's going through his financial troubles. Because he's doing a lot of extra purchasing of things. Like, he, like, bought one of his sparring partners in one of the 24/7s. Dude was a regular sparring partner, and he gave dude just the down payment for his house. They gave him all these thousands of dollars for a down payment on his house. Now, granted, that's not that much to somebody at Pacquiao's level of boxing, but he did some other things, like bought a new car, bought, like, a new Ferrari or something. Like, it seems like, I don't remember ever seeing him like that. Like,
I'm still wondering why. 24/7
is usually born. He was trying to do.
I'm wondering why Freddie Roach said that though. Like, has it been confirmed that what he said was true, or was that some kind of motivational tactic? Because even when he said it, I was like, I mean, I don't know the spending habits of Filipinos, but I was like, that's kind of hard to believe.
Yo,
it seems like everything would be cheaper over there. No,
yeah,
not really.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
seriously. When you go to like the Caribbean and stuff, that won't come in cheaper. You don't find many third world country immigrants that go broke.
We got a friend to the show on the line. You want to take this call real quick, Seth?
Good. Yeah. We got Al Tariq. Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Sure, you got it.
I got it. Al Tariq, what's up, homie?
I'm
what's
right,
going on,
what's
up?
Good, good. I was calling because you guys were talking about Joe Frazier, and everything you guys said is correct. Like, even while he's passing, he's always been second nature in his boxing analysis. So when you talk about Joe Frazier, you mentioned Muhammad Ali. Even when you talk about his greatest fight at times, you talk about the heart he had when he went down six times against George Foreman. So, and even while he's dead now, like, other things happened in the world and made Joe Frazier a backstory. But this guy has influenced boxing, especially Philly boxing, for so many years. I mean, like Dev was saying, it's crazy that this guy doesn't have a statue, doesn't have a city named after him, a borough. I don't know what it's called down in Philly, but they need to have something to honor this guy, because him and George Benson died this year. Sorry, George Benson died this year, and the impact on Philly fighters, whether it's Medrick Teller, Bob Frazier, you're talking about so many fighters that even Marvin Frazier, when he got knocked out by Mike Tyson, using Joe Frazier's style. This guy's influenced boxing so much, man. For us to not recognize him the way he needs to be honored, man, it's crazy. So I mean,
I agree with you.
Trip down. I'm not sure if you guys know about it, but or if you guys mentioned it, but they have the Lion State at Wells Fargo Center tomorrow between 10 and 5 o'clock in South Philly. So I might try to make that trip down there. Hopefully some of your fans can come down there with me.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's funny you say that because Bernard Hopkins, he said that the way that the Catholics look at the Pope is the way he feels about Joe Frazier being a Philly boxer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy to say that, but that's exactly.
Yo, even the young boy Astro on X Factor gave him a shout out in his rhyme last night. I was like,
Astro,
you know about Joe Frazier, youngin?
Yo,
that's my young
boy.
I'm an astronaut, man. I'm an astronaut.
Let me end up by one last point before you guys go.
I mean, we definitely should be
You're going to make one last point,
One last point. He's the only fighter that I know, because I, you know, I do this, I do some of the fights throughout the state. He's the only heavyweight fighter that of his stature that I've seen at regular fights. And he's a Hall of Fame fighter. He's a world-renowned fighter, but he was just a regular, humble guy. And even if you look at his son, because every time I looked at his son, I kept looking at his nose because I was trying to figure out how Mike Tyson rearranged it. But just regular people, you know.
Right.
But that, so one of the things I should say about Joe Frazier, when I had a chance to just be in the space, I didn't get a chance to speak to him, but he was just a regular person who happened to do some extraordinary stuff in the ring. And this guy has done a lot for the city of Philly. I respect the city, I mean, just from a boxing standpoint. And this guy's influenced boxing so well. So, you know, it's a sad day in boxing. But it's also, you know, the state of Pennsylvania, even with Joe Paterno, I'm not going to get into that because I can't wait to hear you guys' comments about it. But there's a lot of stuff that's going on in Pennsylvania, and I just can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about Joe Paterno and what's going on in Penn State.
Yeah, we're saving that for last. So,
yeah, stay tuned. We're going to talk about
thanks for your call, man.
Nah, no problem.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Al Tariq. Shout out to Al Tariq.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's crazy because Joe Frazier loved the sport. And we're talking about this fight this weekend. And it's crazy how boxing has fell. Like, it kind of makes you sad because we all love boxing. I mean, I love MMA too, but I grew up loving boxing. And it's kind of sad.
Right.
It's
kind of
sad for the entire sport.
PJ broke it
down.
What's your opinion of the
fight this
weekend? I don't know, man. I was just going to give a prediction. I was probably going to go last one. I had the tail of the tape, unless you read it already.
No, I didn't read the tail of the tape.
No,
do you really want to read the tail of the tape? Let's read my predictions. We're going to start with Doctor.
Yeah,
what's your prediction for the fight?
Prediction? I'm with you, man. That $50 million got to be a motivator, whether, you know, they believe Floyd's camp is real about it or not. He might go out here and murder this boy. I got Pacquiao knocking dude out in the ninth.
Random round?
In the ninth with, like, a minute 52 to go in the ninth. No, that might be too quick.
A minute 52.
Yeah, who else want to weigh in?
I would say, I see a stoppage too. I think it's going to be a technical knockout where I think Pacquiao is going to stop him. And I mean, I don't think he's going to get knocked out and counted out. I think the ref is just going to have to do a mercy stoppage. And I'm thinking around the ninth sounds good, but I'm gonna go with eighth. I was going like eight or ninth, but I'm gonna say eighth.
Hey, Doc Bay, you want to say something?
I got Pacquiao in a unanimous decision.
Okay, I'm going to get my prices right on y'all. I'm going to say Pacquiao with a knockout in the seventh. Just because y'all picked the ninth and the eighth, that's my prices right, John. You know what I'm saying?
$1 bid, man. Come on, man.
It's like the $1 bid with prices right, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to take Pacquiao there. But, yo, Dev,
but
you want to
take
talk
away message from all this?
Yeah, man.
The takeaway message real quick is all this is that they need. I was just going to say real quick, the takeaway message is that Floyd and Pacquiao need to get in the daggone ring, man. Ain't nobody trying to see them fight.
Hopefully it'll happen. Quicker you knock him out, the quicker we can see this fight. Knock him out in a second, and y'all just get it on later on that night.
Exactly.
All right, man, we got to talk about it. Like I said, I see my homie from Ranked Top 5, Sports Talk Radio in Chicago. They're in the chat room waiting for us to talk about it. Monday night game. Chicago Bears, Philadelphia Eagles. Chicago came into our house, took our lunch, left with some cheesesteaks. Now we got to send Jeff and P. Coop some cheesesteaks. First of all, fellas, how did it happen? Like, what's going on with the Eagles, man? What's their problem? Because the previous 2 weeks,
opinion. Everybody
thought they turned it around. What happened this time?
Yo, how do you not get a sack on Jay Cutler? Me and Dev was talking during the game, and Dev was like, yo, I think that I got one sack on Jay Cutler this year. I got a half sack myself sitting on my couch. Like, you know, everybody's been sacking Jay Cutler. How do they not get one sack on Jay Cutler? I don't understand it. And the biggest question I have is when the Bears were down towards the goal line at the end of the game, why is Asante Samuel giving dudes a 15-yard cushion and standing in the end zone? I mean, that was an easy pitch and catch. The last touchdown the Bears scored?
Was he not inviting him to score?
He gave him a 15-yard cushion.
Was he not inviting him to score? I think he got on his laptop and sent Earl Bennett an Evite.
I think that Asante Samuel had Earl Bennett on his fantasy team.
Yo, he sent him an Evite. Said, yo, we're having a touchdown party in the fourth. Like, are you serious?
I thought Stir Fry Patterson had came back, because that's what Dimitri Patterson was doing last year. So I'm like, yo.
I'm wondering how you lose a game like that when such a sure-handed runner like Matt Forte, you get him to put it on the deck twice, and you still lose. But the way this game went was the same way Eagles games have been going all season. This was like the Atlanta game where, you know, Atlanta scores a couple touchdowns in the beginning, and, you know, you're kind of thinking like, you know, they score, but they don't seem like that much of a threat. And then the Eagles prove what you're thinking by coming back and taking a lead late. But then after they take the lead, then they just give the lead back. So I don't know, man. It's just a lot of it's a lot of components to the Eagles team that is very, very overrated.
I want to send a shout out to the Broad Street line, because they're in our chat room too. And during the game, I saw them complaining about DRC. About the way he played that game. And I just want to tell y'all, I told y'all last week, you never trust a man who has a hyphenated name, because men don't have hyphenated names.
Yo, straight up, hey, Jim, there was one play where that bum DRC tried to tap. No, I think he reached for the ball. I think he went for the interception. Missed it. The receiver caught it. This bum going to stop, clap his hands, and down there put his hands on the hip. On his hips, while the receiver is running up the field at this point, he missed the play, stopped and clapped his hands and was like, "Dang!" and like
Dude,
stopped,
weird.
Like he completely stopped. I said, "Yo, is DRC serious?" I mean, I don't mean to call him a bum. I'm just upset, but some of the stuff that he does, and it's just like, here's my thing: this is the fourth game that the Eagles have given away a fourth quarter lead and lost the game. Like they don't have any heart, man. I mean,
that's
like
four
that,
out of five
that,
losses
so many,
that way.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There's so many components. And Michael Vick, my man, 50 grand. In the weekend of fourth quarter quarterback comebacks, how come you, in less than 2 minutes, we got the ball back with like 3 minutes and like 40 seconds left?
Man, Eli would have scored
Vick.
Twice. For all the hate he
did,
Eli would have scored
twice. And then the last pass to Jeremy Macklin,
people would have scored
I just want to say Michael Vick. Michael Vick, my man, you were seriously struggling with figuring out these defenses. But his last pass to Jeremy Macklin on that fourth down play, the last possession that we had, he threw the ball. I guess he thought Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was running in front of him. But Jeremy Macklin had to try to grab the top of the backboard to catch it. Yeah, that was a McNabb pass, except it was McNabb would have just threw it at his feet. So that was just like how that's how quarterbacks do. Huh?
You know how they get though.
I'm just
you know how
man.
They get out in society. I heard people trying to blame Jeremy Macklin for that.
Yo, I heard people trying to blame Jeremy Macklin. Let me say something. He hit three Bears. He hit three Bears D-backs in their small intestines, and fortunately they can't catch. But he's going to throw it to Jeremy Macklin 8 feet over his head. And they're saying that this Jeremy Macklin ball having to jump up and come back down like that?
He's
come
wide
on,
open.
Man.
He's wide open. If you hit him in stride,
open.
His momentum alone takes him to the sticks and probably takes him out of bounds if you want to stop the clock, even though we didn't need to stop the clock.
Right.
When I tried to explain to people who were blaming Macklin, look, just to go up, just to break your stride to go up and get a ball where you wasn't expecting it in the first place, that's hard for your balance. But everybody swear that they can do something that professional athletes can't do. It's crazy, man. It's like last season how it ended, and everybody wanted to blame Riley Cooper because Mike underthrew him. And
man, he should have tackled the D-back.
All I can say is this, man: Mike Vick from last year, like, is he gone?
Yo, they figured him out. He's supposed like that's the NFL. They figured him out. I'm telling you, the NFL is a copycat league. As soon as somebody figures out a way to neutralize a player or an offense or something that they're doing, especially like a quarterback like Mike Vick, and that's my man, 50 grand. But mentally, and I don't know how to say this the right way.
Great.
I think Mike.
Play,
I see Michael. Listen. Listen.
Austin said it for you.
Mediocre, I know, right? But mediocre to good defenses seem to be able to bait him into mistakes easily to me. Like, yeah, I feel like the Bears, there were a couple formations that they showed, or you know, fake formations, if you will, that got Michael Vick to throw into darn near interceptions a couple times by just like baiting him into whether it was
right.
a linebacker, a drop back, and he even thought he was going to play closer to the line of scrimmage, but he dropped back into coverage. Different things that, I mean, and again, it's difficult to be a quarterback in this league, and a lot of quarterbacks go through it, but I just feel like Michael Vick is still not coming past that. Like, he hasn't done any since last year. He's not going upward
so
anymore.
So you're saying
like,
that Michael Vick,
he's
saying just, Michael Vick,
like, he's
basically, he's back to hiking the ball and just,
No, I wouldn't say he's Atlanta Michael Vick. See, I ain't going to say that he's Atlanta Michael Vick. I don't think he's regressed that far back. And I think Andy and Marty are trying to do some new things even in the past few weeks with him.
Yeah.
I just feel like, I don't know. Cause
I saw some naked boots that you usually don't see in
wrinkles,
the offense.
Right?
They were trying to get him out into space. But Chicago is a disciplined defense, and they don't fall for a lot of that. Because on the second time we ran the naked boot, as soon as he turned around, the defender was in his face, like, you know, where
right.
you going?
Yo, I tell you
now,
one thing.
I think
Chicago,
that was the play when he pump fake, and if he hadn't pump fake, he would have outrun the defender to the sticks, but the pump fake kind of slowed him down, and he didn't get the first down.
Listen, I hate saying anything good about Chicago. I hate saying anything good about Chicago except for the fact they got great defense pieces. But, yo, they have one of the most, like, physical and the most athletic defenses I've ever seen. Like, them dudes
we definitely got out
flying physical. Across the field. Yo, they got out physical. It was beyond belief. And,
Man,
what do you guys
and
think?
For all y'all dudes that say that still saying that Brian Urlacher is overrated, I ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah, Brian Urlacher was all over
that
the
dude's
place.
I mean, that's easy to see when you compare him to who's on the other side playing linebacker. But let me ask you guys a question about this.
Nah, I'm
before the game,
what he doing against the offense.
Before the game last week, you know, Jason Avant was talking trash. He was saying how Eagles fans are bandwagon fans and, you know, this, that, and the third. And, I mean, you know, we had a call. Somebody called our voicemail. We have a voicemail where you can call and leave a message. I just wanted to play it real fast. One of our contributors, now Rand, wanted to make a comment about Jason Avant calling Eagles fans bandwagon fans.
Hey, Jason Avant, shut up. You do start off 1-4 talking about bandwagoners. Please, how about you hold on to the ball sometimes?
Yo, he said, shut up.
So that's from the homie Naran. He basically wanted to tell Jason Avant to shut up. So.
And Jason Avant pretty much wanted to give the Buffalo game away. I mean, that was a game when he was just giving the rock away in the Buffalo game when we lost that one.
Well, how about you start out?
Needs to be
how
quiet,
about you start out?
Know,
like
we call
1-4
him Noyak because he catches a lot, but he gets no run after the no
yeah,
yards after
slow.
Catch because
he's
slow,
slow
as, no. as it can come. So
well,
Noyak,
how about you start
Noyak
out, Jimmy, 1-4, win 2 games against, you know, average competition, then you want to start mouthing off to the fans? That's not how you endear yourself in the city of brotherly love. All right,
yeah,
fellas, you know we got to talk about it. So I know you out there, Jeff and P. Coop. So basically, we're going to call you brothers this weekend. We're going to get your order, and we're going to get that out to you sometime next week. So hold tight. Y'all be eating some cheesesteaks sooner rather than later. I'm a little upset now. I got to wait till July to get my deep dish.
Explain to them what we're talking about. We had a bet with Ranked Top 5, which is Chicago-based show. We made them a bet that if the Eagles win, they would have to send us some deep dish pizzas. And, you know, since they didn't win,
popcorn.
We got to send them some
we
cheese
added
sticks.
That. and some popcorn. We're going to send them some cheese steaks and, you know, maybe a tasty cake or two. So we got you, fellas. We got you.
And Jeff, Ranked Top, what's good with this popcorn everybody's talking about, man? Because everybody keeps telling me about this popcorn.
Yo, PJ? The story that you told on the air last week, I swear, me and Brandy went to the website, and I was driving. She went to the website, and she read a testimonial from Garrett's Popcorn. I swear if it didn't sound almost word for word like what you said, but the picture was like of a white woman. So I'm like, we found out PJ leaving testimonials and using them stock photos from the web.
Yo, no.
Because
it wasn't.
She said
I didn't
the
even
exact
know.
Same type of stuff. She said
yo.
Something like the line was like retarded, and she was something like, yeah.
That's yo, real rap.
I never saw that.
I never saw nothing like that ever in my life for popcorn. That's what I'm saying, for popcorn. I thought they had Michael Jackson tickets or something they were selling. Not really. Well, kind of, because it's kind of gourmet. Like, they got all different kinds of flavors. I'm going to just tell you, you can go with the basic regular butter popcorn. They got a cheese popcorn. And let me tell you, they
caramel.
Got the caramel popcorn. Ooh.
And they got the Chicago mix.
By the way,
yeah,
this is the last time we're going to bring this up on air unless y'all cut us a check. Because even the Broad Street line is in the chat room talking about that how cats be lined up outside for the popcorn in the cold.
All right, Rank Top said they got us on the popcorn.
Oh, Rank Top 5 said they got us. Shout out to Rank Top 5.
It's like South Street. It's like gyms when there's a lot of tourists in town and their line is like out the door and around the corner. It's like that,
DJ? Yeah, it is. Right, exactly like that. But the thing about it is, it be cold. People be doing it too. Like you know how sometimes
in Chicago
in the summertime it be off the hook. Yo, in Chicago, it be cold as I don't know. It was cold that day, that weekend I was there. And every time we passed that place, it was diesel. The line was diesel every time. I'm like, yo, are you sure it's only popcorn in there? They must be giving out government cheese or something.
So hold up. So PJ, you trying to tell me like it was like 0 degrees outside and people like just line up to get popcorn?
Yo,
in Chicago,
that's exactly
less than zero.
I'm telling you,
because
it's
zero
less than
minus.
Zero. Yeah, and that street is next to like Lake, not that far from Lake Michigan.
Oh,
so you get a lot of that lake effect wind. I'm telling you,
we went
outside.
Like?
I had a lockjaw in like 10 minutes.
What it smell
I couldn't
like?
Even talk to Evan.
What the building smell like? It smell like does the aroma get people into the
when
line?
You, no, it's not. I don't know if it's the
too
aroma
cold to smell
as
anything?
Much. Yo, right. When you get in there, it smell like all. It's a party in your nose. It smell like all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's all good stuff, but it's. I think I don't
nose
know. I think it's the
party?
Name that does it. Huh?
I said nose candy party.
It's like a nose candy party.
So you say
it's like
they
a
got,
nose
they
candy
blue,
party.
They got blue magic. They got blue magic in the
I think
popcorn. Huh?
That's why I said last week. I think they lacing that popcorn with something. Now don't lie. I don't want to go on record like Gary's gonna come after us. I'm not saying that you do, but I'm just saying that it's so good that you would think that it's something else. Yo, I got a can right here as we speak. A Chicago tradition
yo.
Since 1949. Gary.
Yo, that's what the woman said on the testimonial. She said after we left, we order there at least twice a year now. And I was like, yo, PJ wrote this testimonial, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna use a stock photo.
I'm telling y'all gotta order some from their website just to get it, just to chase
yo,
because you only gotta get that much.
Yo.
You'll
be
hurting,
man. They ain't cutting us no checks, man. They ain't cutting us no checks.
Go ahead, Jim. They know how to get in touch with us, so you can just go ahead to the.
All right, no doubt. So, Garrett, if you're out there listening, let's cut me a check. Let's talk about this story real quick. Let's talk about Michael Jordan, a.k.a. Mr. Overrated. Like, no, speaking of Chicago, let's talk about Michael Jordan. And for those who don't know, I love to disrespect Michael Jordan, but I want to see what the gentleman got to say about Michael Jordan being a sellout. Jason Whitlock recently wrote a column, and he accused MJ of being a sellout. Some of the current players feel the same way, have come out on Twitter and, you know, said some things they probably shouldn't have. But MJ has taken a hardline stance in these negotiations. So I just want to know what the gentleman, what you guys feel about MJ. Is he a sellout or?
I got some excerpts from the article.
From Whitlock?
If right,
give us the excerpts
from
Whitlock.
I'm going to just take a couple excerpts. He said, Michael Jeffrey Jordan finally found a cause he can get behind off the court, which is being an obstacle for any black kid dreaming of matching or exceeding Jordan's wealth. Sellout. Then he said, Michael, you keep calling the ball Michael Jeffrey Jordan, too. Michael Jeffrey Jordan is the greatest player of all time, is the owner most determined to bury the union financially. Jordan allegedly wants current players to take a 10 to 20 point basketball related income pay cut. He said, this is the ultimate betrayal. A league filled mostly with African-American young men who grew up wanting to be like Mike is finally getting to see just who Michael Jordan is. He's a cheap, stingy, mean-spirited, cutthroat, greedy, uncaring, disloyal slave to his own body.
Yo,
he went on to say how, you know, he went on to say how all the cats in the league now who bought his gear growing up, he said they were the ones who made it possible, and the Players Association fought like crazy for him to get those two balloon payments of $30 million per for his last two seasons. And he thinks that instead of blaming
the financial structure of the league for his team's lack of success. He said he needs to start blaming himself for some of the management moves he makes, like Kwame Brown and Adam Morris and people like that. So, all right, so what do y'all think about that?
Real quick, with that, I think it's an interesting article. I think Whitlock went kind of overboard because I kind of, after my last two PTRs, I kind of agree with Michael Jordan in terms of, yo, some of these dudes should not be making the money they make. Now, Michael Jordan's balloon payments are $30 million a year. He was bringing in that much revenue to the Bulls where they could pay him that. Now, is everybody worth $30 million? No, just like Kenya Martin is not a max player. So I do think
even if you take it to the level, because you were talking about the players and how they're not worth that, not even on a brand-type level. He may have been worth that because he just bought the Bulls four championships up to that point.
Put it like this.
In the last Bulls, 2 years, he bought them two more. So if you
get rid of Michael Jordan's years with the Bulls are an epic failure as a franchise. And I just wanted to say that because I got to take more shots to Chicago since we owe them some cheesesteaks. But anyway.
We owe them some grub.
Yeah, but the thing about it is I've been doing a lot of, like, studying on this and seeing some of Jordan's comments and the comments of his peers and also some of the players. And it's funny because Michael has taken a hardline stance, but I think that it's actually deeper than this. I think it's part of Michael Jordan's personality. He just, like, wants to win. It's sort of like, yo, I'm taking my ball and I'm – he's being Michael Jordan is all he's doing. And I don't think it matters whether it's in business or whether it's on the court, whether it's giving your Hall of Fame and induction speech. Michael Jordan is who he is. Michael Jordan is a sellout not because of this, but because of other – I think Michael Jordan is a sellout due to other reasons. It has nothing to do with this lockout. But with that being said, I think Michael Jordan is being Michael Jordan. He just wants to win.
At this point, though, like you said the word business. I think at this point, Michael Jordan is being Michael Jordan, owner of the Charlotte Bobcats. Now, Whitlock is expecting him to go into the owners' meetings and be the face of the players. He's no longer a player. He owns the team. Mind you, he owns one of the teams who lost the most money in this whole situation. So they're taking a loss in the standings, and they're taking a loss in the stands, because if you look at a Charlotte Bobcats game, you know, people aren't really attending because they don't really have the talent to get people out there. And you have to remember this also. Michael Jordan isn't a billionaire like most of these other owners. So I don't understand what they expect from him in this situation. I kind of agree with Jimmy. There's other things that you can get on Michael Jordan about, but I think the stuff that Whitlock is trying to get on him about is kind of unwarranted because, you know, you may say stuff as a black person. If you're like a pro-black guy, you could say, well, throughout his whole career, Michael Jordan had the power and the platform to jump into some causes and make some changes, kind of like Muhammad Ali did
Jim Brown. Anybody.
Yeah, like, he had the power to do even more than those dudes probably did, and he never chose to do that. So he has always been about his bottom line. But in this case, he's the owner of one of the smallest markets in the NBA. He's losing money, so his investment isn't doing too well right now. I just don't understand what they expect from him at this point.
Well, it's funny because it's kind of like, and I'm going to use a crazy analogy, but I remember one time
Bruce Lee?
When I was in college. No, not Bruce Lee. Now. But I was in college. When I was in college, right? I worked
no
at
pride,
this. I worked at this telemarketing firm, and I was nice on the phone. That's beside the point. But they made me a supervisor.
They made me a supervisor, right?
And what happens is the people that I used to hang with and get in trouble with or whatever was like,
exactly.
Man, you can't be doing this. I'm like, look, I'm not on y'all level no more. They gave me a nice check, so. It's like Michael Jordan's not a player anymore. Michael Jordan is an owner at this point. And as much
That's
as I
exactly
like to talk
what I was about
pork
to say.
Chop greasy, I want to as much as I want to talk pork chop greasy about Michael Jordan because I do think he's a sellout and I think he's overrated as a player. when it comes to this issue here, I think people are like out of line because they expect him to like why should I mean when you look at it, this is a contentious negotiation. He's not a player, so why should he be on their side? And when you think about Michael Jordan's personality and the way he likes to win and how cutthroat he is,
it makes sense that he's taking a hard line. I mean, I just look at it as Michael Jordan being Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
exactly
but MJ,
what I was about to say. It's the, it's the dynamic. Yeah, it's the dynamic of an organization. It's just like you could be on a certain level in the company, and once you start getting promoted, and again, you build relationships with people that are on that same level with you, and then once you get promoted and you become their boss or you become like, you know, you're the head of the whole department or something like that, you have to make decisions and you can't do the same things that you used to do. You have to almost think a little bit differently because you have a different level of responsibility. With him, it's a business now, like Dev said, like, this is his money that's invested in, you know, into this business. He's not a player anymore. Just like my man Biggie used to say, I can't talk about being broke no more because I ain't broke. Like, he was going to be ready to die to life after death.
Yo, that's funny because I was just about to use the hip-hop analogy because I'm like the same people that's criticizing Mike is probably the same people who go around, you know, saying, talking about rappers and, When we say their style change and all they're doing is talking about money and this, they take up for those guys. Well, what are you supposed to talk about? Jay-Z rich now. What are you supposed to talk
mm-hmm.
about? But it's the same type of case here. And I don't know. Like I said, Michael Jordan is a pretty new owner. So he's not really responsible. He's not responsible for the last collective bargaining agreement. He's not responsible for why these players make money that a lot of them don't deserve to make. So why wouldn't he be one of the front runners? Why wouldn't he be one of
the
hardline owners trying to get that change? What'd you say, Jen?
I'm disappointed in him because he's responsible. He's personally responsible for Kwame Brown still being in the league.
Yeah.
I see that Naran is in our chat room. I want to know what he has to say because he's a self-proclaimed Michael Jordan hater. But I want to see if he falls, what size he falls in this argument in terms of Mike being a sellout because, like I said, there's other reasons you can call him that, but not the way that Whitlock did, in my opinion.
Yeah, and there's some people weighing in on Facebook. they really, really pro Mike. Buddy Hall says, I asked if Michael Jordan's a sellout. He said, in what world? Eric Krause said, Michael Jordan and sellout should never be spoken in the same sentence ever, unless you're talking about them sweet 13s that are not on the shelf no more. And Glenn, the homie Glenn Jenkins said, I say no because he's not a player anymore. He has to approach it as he is an owner. Now, out of those three responses, Glenn is really the only one I believe. I mean, that I agree with. It's not like everybody else is just saying no just because he's Michael Jordan. You know, I don't even know if they look
Michael
like
Jordan
the,
can do
the article
wrong
or know why he's being called a sellout. They're just saying no because it's Mike. But I agree with Glenn, you know, like we've been saying for the last 5 minutes, he's an owner now. He can't go into the owners' meetings representing the players. Michael Jordan doesn't make money like that. Yeah. Michael Jordan bought this franchise to make money. First of all, I think Bob Johnson, he saw him coming. Like, I wouldn't have bought that, but.
Yo, Bob Johnson, yo, that's how Bob Johnson became a billionaire, man. You know what he's doing, man.
He like Mike jealous of Magic. He trying to get that Magic money. Let me tell him that it's his right hand Charlotte.
Yo.
Like the worst franchise in the world.
Yo. I'm
this is what I understand.
Death. Death. Take it. I'm going to scream with Death.
Okay. Didn't Charlotte leave? Didn't the Hornets leave Charlotte because Charlotte wasn't a good enough market? Why the hell did you go back to Charlotte with a franchise and then Mike actually goes and buys it from the guy? Like,
Are the Bobcats going to be like the only black franchise where, like, okay, a black guy started it, first black owner, then he sells it to another black guy, and then is Mike going to sell it to another black guy and sell it to another black guy? Like, is that going to be the black franchise?
They're going to start calling it the cocaine franchise.
They probably will, though. It's like they're going to act like, you know, we're looking out for each other, but really it's like I'm getting you every time we sell this franchise.
Bob Johnson hitting with the Gordon Gekko challenge. He went back to see Bob Johnson, and the apartment was empty.
Okay, well, we got Brandon Pemberton of Brandon on Sports on the line. He's coming on to speak with us about the Penn State situation. But, Brandon, we're going to bring you on a little early so we can get your opinion about this whole Jason Whitlock, Michael Jordan thing. What's up, man? You on the line?
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's going on, Brandon?
Man? What's up, Brandon?
Hey, man, what you think about Whitlock calling Mike a sellout?
Man, Whitlock is doing what he always does, man. He's taking a little overboard. Me personally, I'm tired of you know, every time he writes an article, it has to be some sort of black-on-black crime or, you know, it always has to have some sort of race in it. Like, I mean, like, it's just, he's overdoing it. The bottom line is 80% of the owners of the league are losing money. That's what it's all about. You got players, you know, that get big contracts, and once they get the contracts, they don't play worth a damn after the contracts, and teams can't get out of these contracts.
Some of them didn't play worth a damn before they got the contract.
See, I think it's both to blame because some of these cats, tell me Samuel Dalembert deserved $80 million. He ain't played worth a damn before he got the contract. They still paid him $80.
But at that point, for some reason, the CBA that they negotiated was 57%. So I guess they had to spend that dough. But, yeah, I don't
understand. Because he had a nice soccer game. They didn't pay any for his soccer capability.
I mean, it's like the NBA has been putting out a mediocre product, you know, for the last 10, 12 years. And, I mean, it's just time for it to change. Like, I mean, it's the bottom line. You got teams tanking games, trying to get number one picks. It's still not working. I mean, it's just bad. And, I mean, at this point, Michael Jordan's not a player no more. So how is he selling out the players? Like, the guy owns the team. He's running a business now.
That's what bothers me the most about all of it. Yeah, I'm like, yo, he's going to go to players. Like, nothing at this point.
Like, at this point, he retired. Whenever he retired the second time, I don't even count the second time he played. He retired in 98. Like,
well,
yeah, man.
That was the third time, actually. Remember, you retired
part of it
is like, unbelievable that they're like, saying that he's selling the players out. Like, yo, I don't get that. Like, it's a contentious negotiation. Whose side is he supposed to be on? That's like like me getting mad at my homie Herman Cain because of Godfather Pizza, like, I'm going to, you know, not making profit these days. He don't work there no more, man. See what I mean? Like, I know y'all like, what that guy do with anything? Shout out to my man Herman Cain. Anyway,
this is the last point on this before we get into the scandal. Oh, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. I'll make it at the end.
I'm just saying. The bottom line with all this is he's not a player anymore. He's an owner. Let him be that. And, you know, that's ridiculous. As much as I like to diss Mike, I can't on this occasion.
So the last point about it is Whitlock was calling for a boycott. He's saying, why should these players wear his brand and all that kind of stuff if he's in there trying to take your money away from you? But I'm thinking like Whitlock, like nobody in the NBA, well, I'm not going to say nobody, but the guys who are actually on Jordan brand, they're not doing that for free. They get paid for that. So do you really think they're going to give up their shoe deals? Because Mike is being an owner because he's doing what he's supposed to do right now? I don't get it, man.
There's no way Carmelo Anthony going to say, you know what, I don't want this deal no more. I mean, take this $3 million a year you're giving me back. Like, come on, man. Like, lock out his damn mind.
Yeah, he tripping. He be tripping a lot. There's occasions where he might say something that I agree with, but this is not one of them. Yo, man, let's...
The majority of the time when he has an issue, he always bases it around race. Like,
it's always that way.
I think at this point, that's what they look for. So he, like, made it, he, like, you know,
that's
made
that his niche.
You know whose stick that's becoming also? The chick, Jemele Hill. That's becoming her thing.
Oh, yeah.
All
right.
Yeah,
she's trying to get that Whitlock money.
Yeah, she's trying to get that Whitlock. But, so we're going to talk about this scandal at Penn State that's rocking the whole sports world right now. Because I don't have the monitor on the whole show, and they're not talking about anything but Penn State. But before we do that, I'm going to let y'all know that this last segment of the night is brought to y'all by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. And like Jimmy said last week, if y'all got a BlackBerry or a Palm phone, kill yourself. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen. Or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right, y'all. We gonna just freestyle this conversation. I mean, I got a couple of points we want to get to. We could talk about the timeline of events. We could talk about whether or not Joe Pye should have been fired. Will it tarnish his legacy, or should it tarnish his legacy? And that grand jury report, that 23-page report. I know Brandon read it because I saw you talk about it earlier. Did anybody read that report?
Yeah, I read it, John. It was hard for me to read. Like, yo, it's taking a long time because, yo, John and me, like, it was
I couldn't
terrible.
Finish, man.
It was graphic.
I couldn't get through it all.
Like,
I was crazy.
That report makes it makes you think, like, can somebody really be this sick? Like, dude has serious problems.
Yeah.
He has serious problems. And if anybody wants to start off with their feelings on this whole situation, go ahead and be my guest. I know I can just start it off by saying that this whole thing just seems like it happened because Penn State was trying to look out for Penn State. And even now with them firing Joe Paterno and trying to, you know, cut ties with anybody who might have had the slightest bit to do with it, Penn State, they're doing the same thing they did to get into it. They're looking out for themselves. And so do y'all think Joe Pye deserved to be fired for this?
I mean, at this point, where it's at, like, everybody that had some part in this has to go.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's a outrage that this was even allowed. I mean, Mike McCreary actually seen this guy performing an act on a child in the shower. He didn't stop it. He didn't say anything. He walks out, calls his father. They didn't call the cops. They go tell Joe Paterno. They didn't
call
the cops. I mean, they go to the athletic director, the president. They didn't do anything. Like, it went from a chain of command, and nobody did anything.
And the athletic director, the reason that they're on trial for perjury is because they're even trying to downplay what it is exactly that McCreary and Joe Pye told them. They're saying, you know, we never really got the thought that anything sexual was going on. We thought it was like just some horse playing in the shower, so we told him he could no longer bring kids onto the campus. So they just didn't take it seriously from day one, or they just tried to kick it under the rug from day one and then go tell the grand jury that that's not how we heard it. So...
the institution, and they have a responsibility to keep kids and young adults safe. So if there was anything that came out about a 60-year-old man playing red light, green light in a shower with a 10-year-old boy, then they should have investigated that no matter what. And I think what makes it bad with Joe Pye, obviously he wasn't the person committing the acts, but once he knew about what was going on, and then they later saw the same guy on campus, around the team, you know, in subsequent years after, with kids, Joe Pye should have been like, obviously he should have went to the cops, but at least he should have at least tried to figure out a little bit more about what's going on. Like, all right, I heard that you were raping a boy, and now you're still with these little boys, and I know what your foundation is about. So, like, you got to explain something to me, like, what's going on here? Like, I think, like you said, Dad, is trying to protect Penn State at any cost, and the victims just fell short. Like, these little boys were going to be tainted for the rest of their lives, they just fell short. I mean, it was just because they were up against the establishment of Penn State.
And they're up to, like, 20 victims that's come out, so
it
might be more than that at that point.
Here's my thoughts. My thoughts are kind of, like, all over the place because more information comes out, it just changes. But it's like, the one thing I do want to say is, as we're hearing this information, we're hearing it like years later in the aggregate all together, so it sounds different than when Joe Pye heard it. Now, I'm not trying to take up for Joe Pye, but I looked up the law in Pennsylvania, and he's not a teacher or anything. So by law, it wasn't his duty to report. His duty is to report to the athletic director, who's to report
Which
to the president. The president, by law, has to report it to law enforcement, where it didn't happen. This is an epic fail on so many levels. McCreary went and called his pop. Yo, what are you doing? Like, yo, he was like a 28-year-old graduate assistant at that point. Yo, he should have beat the snot out of the dude. Like, what are you doing? I mean, so many people fail. I mean, at the end of the day, they're making this about Joe Pa, and they're not even, these people are rioting and acting fool, but what about the victims of this? Like, you know,
this is exactly my thing. I kind of think Joe Pa, like we all said, on a moral level, Joe Pa could have done more. Like Jimmy just said, you know, with the actual rules of being in the collegiate atmosphere, you know, he's not obligated, so he's not really obligated by law.
He
can't get in trouble lawfully for not going to the police. He did what he was supposed to do. The reason people hold him to a higher standard, whether it's fair or not, because in some areas I don't think it's fair, because sports is the biggest thing to everybody outside of the university. I mean, it probably is inside too. Everybody looks at Joe Pa as being the top guy at the whole university. Like nothing should go.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Exactly. So people are holding him to a higher standard when he actually did what he was supposed to do. But I think it's a lot of details in this that haven't come out yet, because there's some reason that everybody's going down and McCreary still gets to be out on the sideline this Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. And also, think about it. The more stuff that comes out, the worse it looks. And when you think about Sandusky, he was able to retire, right? Now, he retired at 55, which is like the prime years of a coach. He is the architect behind what they call Linebacker U, the scheme that they run at Penn State, which, you know, produced so many great linebackers. And he retires at 55 and never coaches again on no level. It's sort of like they knew something was up, and it's like they wanted him to go away.
But remember, he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Joe Paterno, and then all of a sudden, Joe Paterno tells him that you're not going to get this job. So a year later, he retires. And that was even in the grand jury testament, because one of the victims were privy to this information. Sandusky told him, you know, not to mention that to anybody.
It looks fishy. It does look fishy, but people were going off on Joe Pa. Like, I do think that he has a little bit of the blame from a moral standpoint, and I hate to judge anyone's morals because it's really hard to do that. But the thing is, the way people were going off on him,
I think they're
like,
making it too much about him.
Yeah, and you know what it is? When people get angry, they look for someone to blame, and he's the guy. He is Penn State. So when the people get angry because no one likes to hear these kind of stories, he's going to get the blame because he's the face of Penn State. But with that being said, people out there have to understand that he didn't hear the story the way we're hearing the story. The guy actually told two different stories. Initially, what's the guy's name? The one that kept his job. First he says they were horsing around. Then he says dude was getting sodomized. It's like he changed the story a couple times. He probably felt uncomfortable saying what he saw, probably what it was. But it's like Joe Pa, I heard someone who changed the story. He did what he was supposed to do. Now, should he have done more? We all agree that he should have done more. But to, like, make him out to be this evil guy, people are making it seem as though he condoned this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Go ahead, B. You was about to say something?
Yeah, like, I mean, all this, none of this would have happened back in 1998 if the district attorney would have tried to prosecute him then when one of the boy's mothers, you know, the boy came home, then Dusty dropped him off. He come in the house with wet hair.
Wet hair,
like, you know, wash your hair. Oh, me and Terry took a shower together. And I mean, the district attorney had the information. The boy told his mom what happened. Sandusky was following the boy in the shower. The police eavesdropped on a phone call and heard Sandusky admit to what he did, apologize for it, and they refused to prosecute the guy. See, the whole it's like football and Joe Paterno and stuff is bigger than life, and it's like, you know, they didn't want to tarnish the school stuff, but nobody cared about these kids, you know what I mean, being done dirty, and if they would have prosecuted this man in 98, none of the stuff that happened in the years afterwards would have never happened.
Right.
And Naran just made a point in the chat room that he said basically what you just said, Brandon. He said that Tom Corbett should have prosecuted him in 98. That's why Tom Corbett, for those in Pennsylvania, he gave a press conference today, and he's the governor. So it's like why is the governor speaking on this? Because he was in charge in 98.
Because he know he might be next. He know he might be next.
The ball was dropped by so many people. I mean,
inside
it's
outside
amazing.
Of the university. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. The ball was dropped by so many people. The victim number six, his mother, instead of going to the cops, goes to the university police.
Yeah. I mean, they have jurisdiction there on that campus. They're just as good as real cops. So they really, it's up to them to do something about it too. But like Brandon was just saying, man, football is so big in that town that people inside and outside the university rather drop the ball on this because they don't want their beloved program to get in trouble. Now, I got a little insight for y'all. I mean, I'm pretty sure y'all probably heard all the information too, but as to why, now I'm not justifying it. I'm telling you why he might not have said anything. But McQueary, he grew up with Sandusky's kids. You know, they played Little League softball together. You know, so they were close friends of the family. So, you know, if I'm not being totally hard on the dude, I can kind of understand why he went to his pop because he's like, Pop, you know, I saw your homie in the shower with a kid. But at some point, that's the kind of act you just can't protect the dude, man. Somebody has to tell somebody, you know, of authority about what's going on. I mean, and they tried to pass it up the chain of command, and once it got past Joe Pa to the guys above him, that's when the ball really started to get dropped. Because I mean, that's why they're under indictment for perjury now, because they're trying to deny that they even heard it in a certain way. I just think it's a lot of details that's going to come out.
It's crazy because, Brandon, you brought up a great point about the prosecution. The ball was dropped so many places. It's hard. It's like there's so much blame to go around. Like people just saying that it's all Joe Pa's fault. That's what I'm like, huh? How is it all his fault? There's so much blame to go around with his story. And I'm not one of these Joe Pa protectionists who thinks he should have been. He should be gone. First of all, he should be gone because he could have collected Social Security 18 years ago. But that's beside the point. But I'm just saying that you know, it's like they dropped the ball in so many places. I mean, this is just ridiculous. PJ,
yeah, I can't front like I don't like feel sorry for Joe Pa. I mean, come on, you gotta have he's a really really old dude. So like, if you don't feel sorry for babies and old people, then something wrong with you. But I just pictured last night. I could just picture he and his wife like in the house crying together. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When he found out that he was fired. In some instances, I kind of think he was being scapegoated because they tried to get Joe Pa to step down years ago, and he wouldn't do it. So they might be looking at this as an opportunity. Like, okay, we have the opportunity to move on. Okay, we're going to tarnish this man's legacy in the process, but at the same time, we got to move on. But there's some reason McQueary's like the nobody in the whole thing, but the nobody's right. getting more protection than anybody else.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And like you said with McQueary, it's hard to say. I mean, a lot of people, like you said, he grew up with Sandusky's son or whatever, so he knows that family. But like you said, if he was to walk in, like a lot of us can't say what we would do, like if you walk in that situation, as surprised as you would be. Like to see one of your dad's friends sodomizing a 10-year-old boy, like you would probably be so shocked, like, some people might, you know, go and try to beat him up or confront him. So he ran and told his dad. So that's what he did. Okay, that's fine. But after that, and I guess it did go up the chain of command, but after there was knowledge of knowing that nothing really happened to him, I would start wondering, like, man, maybe I should go to the cops directly because this dude is sick to be doing that. And who knows how many kids he did that to?
Because after see that, the information – it had to come out that, okay, he's been under investigation for this before. Maybe I should say something before any other kids get hurt, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm speculating, fellas, so, you know, this isn't knowledge.
It's all speculation. I'm wondering, too. You know what else I'm thinking?
Yeah, I'm speculating. I'm thinking, you might be about to say the same thing I'm about to say. Go ahead, say that.
No, I'm just saying about McQueary. The only thing I'm thinking about McQueary is that I wonder, does he know more than is still even coming out, and that the university or people know him? Is his the fact that he still has his job and the promotions that he's received since this time period, is it like hush money? Is that like a hush money promotion?
Think about the job he got in the first place. He sees a kid getting anally raped in the bathroom, and then he is on the staff all of a sudden. He goes from grad assistant to assistant.
Yeah,
coach.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, he must know more. And my speculation, my antennas are telling me, since they are close family friends, I'm wondering if Sandusky didn't molest this dude when he was young. Because there's something that he knows that's keeping him from getting in trouble. Like, I don't get it.
Right.
And the listeners out there, like I said, that's just my speculation. So nobody go running saying y'all heard some information that he was, you know, getting McQuarrie when he was a young buck. That's just me. But there's something more to the story that we're going to find out.
Breaking news. I was just reading across the timeline on ESPN. The board, they're not going to ask McQuarrie to step down. He, for now, is going to keep his job, and they actually want him to coach from the press box instead of the sideline.
That's for safety. That's for safety, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it, man.
I really don't know something.
Like, everybody goes down except for the person who witnessed it. Isn't he guilty under one of those Good Samaritan laws? Remember the Seinfeld joke when they didn't help the boy that was getting robbed?
Real quick, did y'all know Rank Top 5 brought up a point about how powerful Joe Pye is up there? The athletic director, Joe Pye used to coach him. That's how long Joe Pye has been a coach at Penn State.
He's been a coach at Penn State for 60 years, 49 of them he was the head coach.
Used to be one of his players.
That's crazy. Joe Pye was coaching when cats like Dean Smith were freshmen in college.
Joe Pye
was coaching before
my mother was born. We got a homie on the line. A homie want to come on and say something real quick. I'm going to take this call real quick, y'all. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Naeem, what's good, homie?
What's going on, y'all? I just want to touch one subject on this Penn State whole thing with Joe. First of all, I feel bad for a good legacy that's going down the toilet.
Yeah.
But you gotta understand, I'm not taking up for him. I'm just telling you the way we all are men. And this man is 80 years plus. Okay. He followed the code ethic that he was trained since day one. He's been in the system, like you said, since my dad has been alive. And you got to understand that mentality. He followed the chain of command like he was taught from day one. You go to the president, 80 years old plus, he's kind of senile and dimensional, I think, by now.
No, seriously.
And I mean, so they really got to break by getting him out of it, because I don't think they'll be able to get him out. And two, the guy Query, something is more than enough. Everybody should have went down. Nobody should have had their job on that whole staff.
If Joe Pye is as big as people make him out to be, if he goes down, of course everybody got to go down.
The thing is, like the brush I said in the chat room, if you're McQuarrie, why would you even want to work there anymore? Like, you're safety.
No.
Like, yo, you shouldn't even want to work there no more.
Yeah.
I was starting to read that Grand Jury report, and it made me sick. I stopped reading.
Hard to read, ain't
it? It was too much graphic, and I'm like, are y'all serious? Like, y'all allowed this to go on?
That's why you don't want nothing in your life to go to court, because every gruesome detail, anything you do is coming out in court. So.
Yeah, but that's why I just had to touch on that. I mean, I feel bad for Joe and his family, but on the same token, it's like, I'm, like, tossed up in between, like, damn,
Yeah, he could have said something.
What more could he do? I mean, he could have said something, but then again, I'm looking at his age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I don't think Joe Pye's caught a play since, like, 92.
It depends, though. It depends on when he knew this kind of stuff, because we're talking about right now. In 1998, he wasn't. He was old, but he wasn't this old.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of forced Sandusky into retirement suddenly. So right
True.
After that happened,
but
so some,
still,
you know, he might have known something.
98, he's still 70 years old. And that's when the dementia starts kicking in.
Joe Pop,
yeah. All right, well, thanks for your call, man.
All right.
All right, homie.
All right, man.
All Yeah, but like I said, yo, I think it's kind of unfair because no matter how it is, okay, we look at it from the outside and we know that Joe Pye is the biggest thing in that whole city, let alone the university. But it might be a thing, you know, he might know what he is, but when things go down, he might do the chain of command like he's supposed to. So,
yeah, and in our chat room, they're reporting that Naran said that there were officials feared for Nebraska's safety at Penn State this weekend.
Well, Nebraska,
so
Nebraska
they got
to work.
Yeah, I mean they coming to play the game, so they fearing for their safety now. Like
it's gonna be the highest rated college game of the season, and
yeah,
probably gonna be uneventful.
Game.
Yeah, everybody gonna be up watching this. They mess around and move it prime time.
Yo, and the thing is, Penn State actually had a good season this year.
Yeah, they the worst 7-1. They the worst 7-1 I've ever seen. But
hey, but they are 7-1.
But they are what they record.
They are. Lose the last three games.
I mean, at this point,
they got Nebraska, Ohio State, and
they got an excuse now, though.
Another Big Ten game, I think.
Yeah.
They got a good excuse.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, they're going to get smacked by Wisconsin. They might get doubled up.
I hadn't, at this point, football don't even matter. Like, I mean,
exactly.
I was at the other day, like, I mean, my whole week, like, been messed up. College basketball started this week, and I'm supposed to be in heaven, and, like, this is all I can think about.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I got kids. Like, I mean, I got four kids. I got three boys. Like,
yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, I mean, the coaches from the teams that my kids play for doing something like that to my children, man. Like,
exactly.
Those are the guys
that you're supposed to be able to trust. Those are the guys that you think are, like, helping you raise men. You know what I mean?
And this dude's off doing the
whole opposite of that. Like,
any of y'all have been up to the campus before?
No, I haven't.
I've been there before, yo. It's like, and y'all gonna think I'm crazy when I say this, it's like people are brainwashed up there. It's sort of like living in Mayberry, except they have football. It's like, it's crazy. And I think that's part of the problem with this whole thing. Joe Pye is larger than life up there, but it's like, it's nothing but Penn State. And I think that could be a part of the reason why he said, I'm going to call my pop, and, you know, he didn't run to the cops right away. You know, some of them people are, like, brainwashed, like, yo, I'm,
you know what, too,
Joe
Jim?
Pye,
it's a small town, like you said, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I heard today between 80 to 90% of that town is employed by Penn State University. So everybody has a connection to that school in some way. And obviously Joe Paterno, like you said, is bigger than life. I mean, he's been there so long. He's he's the Nittany Lion. The Nittany Lion is there, but Joe Paterno is the real mascot of that football team. And it's a football school, and Joe Paterno is the mastermind of it, even though now his mind ain't so masterful. But, I mean, you know, he built that
yo,
whole reputation of that school.
So
it's like idol worship.
And that part of
that
is the reason why he's going down. Like I said, I don't think he's all to blame. But
yeah.
The fact is, like you say, a heavy is a head that wears the crown. And in that guy's eyes, once I tell Joe Pye, Joe Pye's going to handle it because Joe Pye
is
Joe Pye.
What does this do to his legacy? Because we got the homie Kevin Lang on the Facebook page, and I just had to tell him, because this is how he's answered the question all week. He's come on like three times, and all he wants to keep saying is Joe Pye should lose his record, and Eddie Robinson this, Eddie Robinson that, ran a clean program.
I don't know what the hell Eddie Robinson ran.
Unless you're his assistant coach, you don't know what Eddie Robinson ran. And
to take his
comparing
rambling
to Penn State is silly talk. calm down.
A couple things. Brandon, Naran said to tell you to stop hating on the Lions. You've been hating on them all season anyway.
Or who?
The Nittany Lions.
Man, tell Nate Brandon to cut it out, man.
And we have another comment. We have a comment by Fender Bass in the chat room. He said, Joe Pye is simply old school and believes in keeping things in-house. He's loyal and not a tattletale like this generation of cowards. Right or wrong, Switzer would have done the same thing, and I guess that's why he doesn't coach anymore. So, you know, people are defending
this
suicide.
This is kind of different, though. I'm not calling it a tattletale when this dude is victimizing kids. And mind you, you know, Fender Brass, I'm not one of the people that's blaming Joe Pye. I really think, like we said earlier, that they're making this too much about him. The name you hear the least, that you've heard the least all week was Sandusky. And
yeah,
he's the monster
crazy
in
about
all
it.
He's the monster in all
crazy
of this.
About it. He went off Pulp Fiction these little boys, and you don't hear nothing about him.
Yeah,
it's sort of like Ray Top 5 said, like, yo, he got out and went, they had pictures of him, like, working out with his wife in the gym.
Yeah, like, it's just crazy where everybody, I mean, but when you're a big figurehead, and I don't know, somebody has to take, I guess they're figuring this isn't, I mean, it's a big story regardless, but the story doesn't have the kind of legs that it has 24/7 for like the last 5 days if Joe Paterno's name isn't thrown around in it, you know, every other minute. So, and I'm still asking, because nobody can answer why the hell McCreary is still on this coaching staff.
Yeah, Joe Pye broke the record like what, 2 weeks ago?
You think they're waiting for the record to hit?
Last game.
You think they let him break the record before they put it all out there?
I don't know.
Oh,
it could have been.
Oh,
but you know what? There's another record this week in store. I think it's like how many games you actually coached or something like that. But,
yeah,
you know.
If he coached this week, then you know, he'd have broke that record for most games coached. I think it's
coached,
like 549 games.
Right.
Who the hell got that record?
I don't know. Who the hell? Dude must have been playing in a league that played 3 times a week.
Damn.
some guy with a hyphenated name.
Yeah, one of those.
Yo, man, I feel sorry for Joe a little bit because, like you were saying, Dev, with his age, man.
Yeah.
I feel like he's so demented at this point, man. They talking to him. He said, I didn't know I got the kids. And then I got that. I'm like, that my man can't finish his sentences, man. They just,
right.
The dude came and gave him an envelope, said, huh, call this number. They tell you, look, you fired Joe. And I like, man, his wife and them came out on the porch. They was crying. I said, oh, man, I can't even handle all this, man. Poor, you know what I mean? Joe Paterno, I don't know. I get like, man, that's tough. It's a tough way for his legacy to end. Like, to go out with a sex scandal, and he been coaching
it
since then in 50 years. To go to him with a sex scandal, that's awful, man.
And it's crazy because that, like, taints his whole legacy. And, it's like, none of us would want to be judged by, like, our worst decisions for the rest of our lives. But that's pretty much.
And I don't think people are being fair because they're saying, well, we don't think Joe Pye is saying the right things. You know what I'm saying? He's not putting enough emphasis on the kids. But like Peter just said, I don't even know if he knows what he's saying from minute to minute.
Joe Pye don't know what year. He don't know what year it is.
And they're, I think they're like going too deep into what he's saying on camera. Like, okay, maybe let him, because I'm pretty sure now that he's gone from the university, there's nobody to tell him that he can't have a press conference to clear his name. If I was him now, that I don't have Penn State to protect anymore, I'm doing something to clear my name. I'm going to tell people what I know.
We got an answer to that question, by the way, y'all. In the chat room, Broad Street Nine says that Amos Alonzo Stagg has the record, and they must have played doubleheaders back then.
They had to play doubleheaders, man.
Amos Alonzo.
Amos Alonzo Stagg. He said he played ball. He played college ball with Joe Pye back in the 1880s.
These boys play with red grains.
Yo, man, that's crazy how long he's been there, man. At least somebody else will get a job. Another question before we get off this sort of show is the future of the program, because I was looking online today and some top recruits have already took Penn State off their list.
Yeah.
What is that going to do for their program moving forward? Because how can you go sit in someone's living room and say, we'll take care of your son up here, and y'all let rape go down up there? I mean, you know, more or less.
It's not a good job right now. Like, how are they going to get a big-name coach? You know.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You already had to follow a legend before, but, you know, like I heard somebody saying earlier today, that wouldn't have been too difficult because it's not like he was winning, you know, national championship after national championship. But the fact that he's been there so long, you know, first you had to fill those shoes. Now you got to come in here and rebuild a program that was brought down by nothing that had to do with football.
It's going to be Mike McCreary going to get that job. You're not going to know why he's still. You don't really going to know.
Mike McCreary get that job.
How can he recruit, though? They're going to be like, ain't you the boy that saw it? Like, how he can't go recruit nobody?
That's what I'm saying. It's no way. There's no way he keeps his job. Like, it's no way he's going to send this guy into somebody's home. Like, the first thing, if I'm the father, the first thing I'm going to say to him is, like, you got some nerve coming to my house after witnessing what you did, and you didn't tell. So what makes you think I can trust my son to come to this school?
Yeah. Their program is
You in my crib trying to eat my spaghetti and talk.
And,
come on,
and it's
dog.
Crazy because the one thing they were trying to avoid in hiding this is pretty much what happened anyway. So it's like they could avoid it. All this could have been avoided. Like the ball was dropped so many times, and what they were trying to avoid happened anyway.
Right. Right. I mean, but it's always like that. You know. Doing
with the media and the way things are reported, it's going to come out. It's going to come out eventually.
Yeah. I mean, and it didn't seem like the Sandusky dude, he was real sloppy about his. It's like those type of dudes, they're begging to get caught. He gets caught, but they don't, you know, nobody pursues it. And that's
he was always getting caught, too.
Joe Pa, that's the president of the school, the athletic director, and the, you know, at the time, the district attorney. So it's like,
man, that dude is a creep, man. He gonna get dealt with once he goes to jail. He might not even go to jail.
I hope he don't go to Gratisford. I hope they put him in Gratisford because he ain't gonna last long enough.
Yeah,
he better.
Yeah, he gonna have to go to Pennsylvania State Prison. Man.
Yeah. Then he better be in PC. He better be in protective custody.
What's gonna be crazy is if he get a jury of his peers up there, they might not even find him guilty.
You said might not find him guilty.
Yo, it's crazy to say that, but like real talk, like yo, I'm telling you, people
you never
are brainwashed.
You never
up
know.
There.
Up there,
people are brainwashed
like
up there,
there,
man.
Own universe up there, you right? But yeah, that
they
would be
live
crazy.
In the same world we do.
Man, they might as well go ahead and send him to the House of Corrections. And let the boys from Johnson Homes do him dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, this dude was begging to get caught because if you're reading the grand jury report, how many times did he do this kind of stuff like in public places, like in the gym in the high school, he's at. You know, in his car, while his car's moving around.
Picture that we have put on our Facebook page. We took it down because so many people got offended. But yo, dude.
Yeah, that
dude
was from. That photo that we put up of him, like, kind of being behind the boy, that was like a linebacker camp, and that was allegedly victim number 4. He did a video with him. For this,
they did
a photo shoot for Sports Illustrated, and that photo that we put up, I believe that's one of the joints from the shoot from Sports Illustrated.
Damn.
And he was like, right there, it looked like he was really trying to teach the dude how to play linebacker, but once you know what you know about the guy, his hands shouldn't be where they are, because this dude is not genuine with what he was trying to teach. He was thinking other things, and you know he was, because if you read that report, you know how nasty and foul this dude really is.
Yo, the boy is so nasty. That's what's amazing to me, how nasty this dude was. Because, like I said, I couldn't get through it. Because that joint was making me cringe. I wasn't ready for all that, man. Like, this dude's sick. Like, that he's sick. Like, there's something like, I don't understand the whole thing about why people keep praying on little boys either. Like, the whole Catholic Church. And I don't understand why these old men go after
don't
little.
Get us wrong, y'all.
They
not
married,
saying
but
they should be out there, you know, finding
right,
little
no,
girls.
No, exactly. No, exactly. No. Don't get me wrong.
You know what I mean?
It's wrong. It's rape. It's you should never, ever rape anybody, let alone a child. But I'm just, it's weird where that affinity for the little boys comes from, but that's a whole different.
Man, they got a chemical imbalance, man. Caucus Mountains. They got a chemical imbalance. And anyway, man, we're running out of time, so let's just sign off for tonight. Thanks for joining us on the Warm this evening, everybody. Special thanks to everybody who chimed in on tonight's conversations. Tune in next week same time, same place to the greatest sports show ever spawned. We'll be talking to MMA fighter Kyle Selfchick about his upcoming pro debut in Washington, D.C. Rest in peace again to Smoking Joe Frazier and the hip-hop great, the overweight lover Heavy D, both going too soon. Have a great weekend, and until next week, everybody, we will holler.
The break is on, huh? Yeah, don't stop. You got to keep on like this. And don't quit. You got